Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney, here for a special Christmas Eve edition, although I know Christmas will be over for most of you by the time you listen to this. The show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors and all of that. Because of the nature of podcasting, very few people listen live. We don't even stream this one live because, well, maybe we'll start streaming it live. Maybe in the new year we'll stream it live so fewer people can listen live. And just the nature of the internet removes quite effectively the possibility of someone stumbling across a broadcast by accident. Now everybody's in their own algorithmed little bubble. And so anyway, you're listening to this after the fact. It's probably after Christmas, but still we're going to do a Christmas themed weekly worldview. It's because I want to start with what I saw at a department store 2 days before Christmas, I and my extremely attractive audio engineer found ourselves at a department store, and it was a zoo because it's 2 days before Christmas and it's a Saturday and Christmas is on Monday. So everyone is doing what they call their last minute Christmas shopping. Maybe you're familiar with the concept. So the place is a zoo. There's hundreds and hundreds of people packed inside this department store. As I'm entering, a man by himself in his early 20s with loose-fitting pants, tattoos on his face, wearing a dirty surgical mask across his chin, walked into the department store. Is it wrong for me to assume that he was there to shoplift? Does that make me a bad person? That's exactly what I thought, is that this guy is here to shoplift. And so anyway, that's my Christmas story. Just to get everyone into the festive mood. Oh, speaking of a festive mood for Christmas time, I was scanning the headlines of leftist information sources, big tech, I think they're called. The ones who feed the average moron, which is almost everyone. Almost everyone is the average moron. Those present are accepted, of course. It's those other people. So I'm scanning, and I see the headline. The headline shouts, "Is everyone you know sick?" And it's in big, bold letters. Is everyone you know sick? And then you start reading the article, and it's... the article is written to portray a sense of anxiety as if none of us remember wintertime before COVID. Right? Does anyone remember before COVID when it was wintertime and it seemed like everyone around you was sick? I remember that pretty much all the time every winter. Every winter, it seemed like for a while everyone around you was sick, and then sometimes you were sick too. It's called winter time. Anyway, it's time for the hysterics and the media desperately hoping for another pandemic ratings bonanza to just replace the VI in COVID. By the way, the word COVID appeared approximately 775 times in the article. COVID, COVID, RSV, pneumonia. Anyway, it's time for them to just replace the VI in COVID with the letter L and just move on, for crying out loud. Just get over it. Man, I don't know if it's just a media thing. I don't know if it's just the media wanting another rating sensation, because let's face it, in the early dawning weeks of the COVID pandemic hysteria, it was a ratings blockbuster for just about everyone. I mean, everyone tuned in and everybody wanted to know, and it was the big thing. And they want another one so badly that, but is it just them? Because, you know, the media, I'm going to make an analogy to Revelation, but please don't think that I'm predicting the end times. I'm not. But the media is just the false prophet of the beast. The false prophet merely speaks the words that the beast puts into his mouth. And if you've read Revelation, maybe you get it. If you don't get it, you should read it because it's interesting. But the beast definitely needs to gin up a crisis as we come in, as we head into an election. And so is everyone you know sick? Oh my, is it RSV? Is it a triple-demic? Is it a pandemic? There's pneumonia in China. It's terrifying. All right. So there, now that we're in the spirit of the season, let me check those off and we'll move on to, let's see. Oh, well, should I do the Christmas miracle first? I am doing it. You know what? We'll save the Christmas miracle for about halfway through the show. Just in case we're still not in the Christmas spirit, then the Christmas miracle will bring us back to it. For now, let's go to the Just a System file, where a man, Richard Hampton to be specific, He attempted to rob a bank in Ohio. Well, he did rob the bank. He was arrested by police after a bank robbery on Cleveland Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. Just to confuse you and me, it's Cleveland Avenue, but it's in Columbus. So Rich robs the bank, and the FBI reports that he gave the bank teller a note with the words were written, "Give me the," and then the word "gun" was written below that. And as he handed the teller the note, he was pointing to his waistband several times, and the teller was confused. "Give me the gun? Are you telling me to give you a gun? I'm a teller. I don't have a gun. What are you trying to say?" So anyway, the teller finally deduced that there was a robbery, or at least an attempted robbery. And the teller handed over $723 in cash, along with a tracking device that Mr. Hampton apparently did not notice, meaning he was arrested almost immediately. He confessed to the crime, having been caught with the tracking device and the cash within 45 seconds of the robbery. So he confessed. And when asked about the note, what was the deal with this note, as the arresting officers are trying to make heads or tails of the situation, he said he forgot to write the word "money" after "give me the" because he was just too high. So talk about a level of it's either a level of confidence or cockiness, along with no fear of any retribution from the justice system, that someone blinded out of their minds on drugs still thinks they can rob a bank and still has the audacity to try to rob a bank. I mean, there was a time in America when bank robbers knew they were too wasted to stick up a bank, and they just didn't do it because you didn't want to get busted, because you end up in prison busting rocks for 75 years sticking up a bank. Now, Rich, he gets wasted, blinded out of his mind, can't even find his way to the bank hardly, but still has the audacity to try to rob it, because none of these criminals are afraid of the just system anymore. Yeah, he was too high to write the note, but still went to... the FBI agents noted in their report that Hampton did not wear a mask, and not because he doesn't care about COVID. That wasn't why. He was too high to realize he should try to conceal his identity. But maybe he wasn't too high. Maybe he just didn't care, because he's a crackhead loser on the street. And sometimes a weekend in jail, that's better than the street. I mean, it's Columbus, for crying out loud. It gets cold. So why should he cover his face? What's he scared of, right? He... I would guess that this guy's out of jail already. I mean, that's just a, that's a 50-50 shot. I could be right, right? If he's not out of jail, he'll cop a plea. He'll put a few pounds back on while he eats regularly in jail. He'll sober up for a while. And then he'll be back on the streets. It's like a rehab program for him. It's like going to the gym. He takes some time off, get back in shape so you can start smoking crack and robbing people again. Do what you really enjoy. All right, so there is the just a system. Meanwhile, from the religion and politics file, this was just the politics file, but I realize now that this belongs in the religion and politics file. Last week, Joe Biden announced a federal pardon to every American who has ever used marijuana ever, including those who were never arrested or prosecuted. Did you get that? That's right. Joe Biden is not only pardoning crimes now, he is officially forgiving sins. Even if you weren't arrested, even if you weren't prosecuted, even if you just smoke pot and you feel bad about it, Joe Biden wants you to know that he has issued a pardon for you. And the Congressional Black Caucus, when they heard about this, they issued a statement. Why? Because they can't help but imply that black people are druggies. Why is that? I don't know. The Congressional Black Caucus has to issue a statement on the pardoning of potheads because why? Do they think black people are potheads more than like white people? Why? They do, actually, and they can't help themselves. And they addended their, they said it was a positive step, but they wanted to point out the racial disparities in sentencing between crack cocaine versus powdered cocaine. And Joe Biden said, don't worry, the coke pardons are in the works. We're working on that. We're working on the, at least the powdered part, you know, because, yeah. And the USA Today article closes with Biden issued a similar pardon last year. But, you know, man, he might have, like, forgotten, dude, because it was busy and like that. And one more thing. Somebody should remind the Congressional Black Caucus that caucus is derived from the Caucasus of Eastern Eurasia, from which arose the term Caucasian, which means white people. Speaking of powder versus crack, white people, it's the caucus. All right. Anyway, so why is Joe Biden, in the Christmas season, by the way, pardoning the sins of Americans. And this is how this makes it into the religion file, is because everyone knows that Barack Obama is actually the president. And Barack Obama has entertained a messianic delusion. Not only entertained it, he's possessed it. And it's a delusion not uncommon among the tyrants atop criminally insane cults that have seized entire civilizations in the past. And so Joe Biden is the Joe Biden is the false prophet to Barry Ho's beast. And so Joe is dispatched as the prophet to forgive the sins in the name of his father. And it's just an analogy. It's not like I'm predicting the end times, although the Bible does predict the end times. So it's not like they're not coming. They're coming. And if you don't get it, you're going to get it. Okay, that's a warning straight shot across the bow for Barack and Joe and the congressional Black Caucasians, all of them. All right. And so from there, we move into the hand over fist file, where we check in on Erie County, New York. Erie County, New York, the home of buffalo, which everyone thinks about in the holiday season because buffalo is famous for being buried in snow and being miserable and smelling bad generally. And they, back in 2012, The federal government apportioned $50 million to an outfit called the Lake Erie Development Corporation. The Lake Erie Development Corporation. Oh, this is Lake Erie, not Erie County. I'm sorry. I got the two confused. Hey, I think of Lake Erie. I think of Buffalo because I was born there. So you got to cut me some slack. So the Lake Erie Development Corporation was going to be in charge of investigating, possibly even crafting and maybe implementing a freshwater wind farm that would be able to survive the winds of November on Lake Erie, as well as the massive ice sheets that actually shut down and freeze the lake every winter. So some geniuses thought that, well, they didn't actually think they could build windmills in Lake Erie. They just got the government to apportion $50 million. The project eventually collapsed due to bureaucratic inertia and competing environmental interests and the fact that it was all a boondoggle in the first place. And now hotair.com reports that monies that are left are going back to the federal government, what they call the federal green grift kitty. $37 million out of the 50 are going back to the Department of Energy. And so the government squandered $12 million, mostly at restaurants and department stores and hotels and probably a few street corners, and more than a few, probably. So that's where the money was spent. And then the author calls the return of the money, the return of the $37 million, a Christmas gift. A Christmas gift. That the fact that they didn't steal the whole $50 million now is looked at by, well, just people who just survived it all as a gift. So how often can a nation squander $12 million before it goes bankrupt and collapses into, at best, a dingy, gray mediocrity? Worse? Well, it could be a lot worse. How often? Well, I believe we will find out in my lifetime. That's right. Forget about that money. It's gone. It's 50 million. No, it's only 12 million gone. Just forget about it. Yesterday is gone. It's not as if that adds up or anything. So also, by the way, in the holiday spirit, Rand Paul, senator, released his annual Festivus report. Why does he call it Festivus? Because yeah, because he watched Seinfeld and he's he doesn't seem all that serious about it. So it's like everybody chuckles about the trillions of dollars that Rand Paul has reported being just squandered like drunken sailors for the better part of 20 years now that he's been doing this. Anyway, his annual Festivus report this year details $900 billion, and that's just the obvious, grotesquely wasted money taken at gunpoint from free people, allegedly free people. $900 billion, that's almost $1 trillion wasted, right? I know. The budget is huge. What's the budget now? Is the budget $33 trillion or is that the deficit? When you get into so many trillions, you start to lose track because at some point it all becomes comical. You're talking about figures so astronomically large, it's like measuring the distance between supernova. It's like, really? I mean, so $1 trillion, just to give you an idea of how much that is. So you know how much 1,000 is, right? That's a lot. Yeah, you lose 1,000, that hurts. You fall into 1,000, that's awesome. Right? That's enough to notice, right? 1,000. A million is 1,000,000. So can you imagine losing $1,000 1,000 times in a row? How much that would hurt? So imagine finding $1,000 1,000 times for 1,000 days. Okay, just that's a lot, right? A million's a lot. So a billion is 1,000,000,000. A billion now. A billion is 1,000. A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. That's 1,000,000,000 times 1,000. Can you even comprehend? I can't even comprehend that. Right? Charlie Sheen and Hunter Biden couldn't waste that much money in their entire life, no matter how hard they tried. That's how much that is. And the criminally insane pile of perverts who've seized civilization squandered that much money just in the past year. And that's just the obvious squandering. Because Rand Paul, he doesn't even understand that there's another $2 or $3 trillion that's also being squandered. But he's in on that. He's down with that. He's cool with that, as we used to say. All right, so there we go. Lake Erie and the Festivus, and yeah. Okay, so now let's go to... Now it's the hand over fist file. I thought that was the hand over. Oh, yeah, that's squandering money hand over fist. That's right now, the hand over fist file. This is a new file. It's going to be successful, I can tell already. There's already two stories from the hand over fist file. Joe Biden is handing out $600 million to colleges and activists for environmental justice. That's right. Last week, the Obama administration, through their false prophet Joe Biden, through their image of the beast organization called the Environmental Protection Agency. Oh, wait a second. The Joe Biden administration, EPA? So I get this article down from my one of my right-wing news sites that are... They're right-wing. Rah, rah, we're winning. Make America great again. Right? They call it the Biden administration EPA. What they don't tell the average moron, which is almost everyone, which is why you need to tell people, is that the Environmental Protection Agency was a Republican creation in 1970 by Richard Nixon. So they could say the Republican Environmental Protection Agency, currently being operated by Barack Obama and the false prophet and the image of the beast and all. They could say that, but they don't. Because all the right-wing websites, I think there must be some sort of money in Republican versus Democrat politics. There's a cash flow that you can rely on if you tap into that. And so they tap into that even when it perverts the understanding of the underlying corruption of the story. The depth of the wickedness and evil in the story is not presented properly, but, you know, there's money to be made, so we all got to make a living. All right. So the Richard Nixon's EPA, currently run by Barack Obama through Joe Biden and others, announced their intention to hand out over $600 million of taxpayer money, they note. Although, where else? How does the EPA have any money? Of course it's taxpayer money. That's a bit redundant to have to say that. But the majority of people are morons, so it is good to let them know. By the way, this is taxpayer money. The EPA doesn't sell a profitable product. Nor do they provide a service that anybody wants to pay for. So they just have the money that they took from you at gunpoint, threatening to throw you in prison and take away your house if you didn't pay them. This is what they're going to do with the money. They're going to hand it out to organizations that support, quote, environmental justice. And you might be like, well, wait a minute, $600 million. That's a lot of money. And what is environmental justice exactly? And how is it that you buy that or pay for that? Or how is it that money is involved in that? Because that seems almost like a concept or something like that. Well, here's what environmental justice is. They will be promoting protests in the streets That's right. 11 different organizations that actually fund protests. Wait a minute. They're going to give this money to these organizations to give the money to people to protest in the streets. Yes, they are. They're also going to give it to other programs, of which nobody knows what they are. It's just impossible to know. You just know that they're all aligned with the criminally insane perverts who seized civilization, because that's who eventually seized the EPA that the Republicans created in order to let the criminally insane maniacs know that they were nice and good people and that they cared about the earth. Richard Nixon wanted everyone to know that he actually cared. He wasn't just an old meanie. So he created the EPA out of his own pride, and now it's being used to bludgeon America to death. Thank you, Tricky Dick. We sure do appreciate it. I'm glad everyone in Washington remembers the fact that you were so nice and that you cared so much. Right, Rich? That's all they talk about, is what a great, wonderful humanitarian and environmentalist you were over there at the Washington Post and all of that. Now, back to this article from the Hand Over Fist file. The funding that's going to be handed out to promote environmental justice will come from a program created as a result of the Inflation Reduction Act. Ironically, the acronym is IRA. Uh-huh. The Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, which is the equivalent of throwing a bomb at the infrastructure of America. That's the IRA. Uh-huh. The $600 million will be just a portion of the overall $3 billion that will be spent on, well, you don't even want to know. You'd rather not know. It'll make you sick, make you want to throw up. Anyway, the money will be spent if it's not pocketed. Now, thankfully, a great deal of the money stolen from the Treasury, which was first taken from the American people at gunpoint, most of that money for leftist causes, fortunately, is intercepted by grifters, and it's spent on personal and lifestyle luxuries, along with drugs and liquor and fancy cars and nice clothes and That's what, fortunately for us, a large amount of the money is spent on all that, which is a lot less harmful than the intended purpose of destroying America. But there still is the theft. You know, the theft is bad. And the taking the money at gunpoint from the American people to do things that are not the proper purview of government, there's still that. And one of the reasons that Barack Obama was unsuccessful in destroying America, or maybe it's not Barack himself, because he's just the image of the beast, right? The beast is in the background. Anyway, the reason that the devil hasn't been able to successfully destroy America is because most of his minions are too busy stealing the money for their own personal appetites and lusts rather than doing the business of the devil as they were told, for crying out loud. And when you're a nation and that's all you've got going for you is that the enemies being paid to destroy you are stealing the money from the one who's hired them in order to buy fancy cars and luxury apartments. So when that's all you've got going for you, that's a bad sign, okay? That's a bad sign. Oh, now, speaking of a bad sign, let's go to Harvard, where I made a prediction on Facebook the other day. I'm on Facebook 2 times a year by accident, because I forget why, but I was on there and I saw someone had posted they were outraged that the president of Harvard has not been forced to resign despite the fact that she is an obvious plagiarist. And plagiarism is supposed to be a big deal in college. Yeah. So anyway, I predicted that this lady, Claudine Gay, the comic book level quota hire, literally. I mean, quota hire, it's a stereotype, right? And maybe you have a picture of in your mind of what a quota hire is. Well, banish that picture. It needs to be replaced by Claudine Gay. She is a comic book ridiculous caricature of a quota hire, and she's actually a quota hire at Harvard. And as a matter of fact, she's the president of Harvard. Anyway, you can't say it without laughing. Anyway, I predict that she will not survive this scandal. Yahoo.com, via I believe this is the Associated Press, reported that Harvard has discovered more questions over possible plagiarism. Possible. There are incidental instances of, well, it's insufficient citation. Let's just leave it at that for now until it becomes so glaringly obvious that even the leftists are embarrassed and they have to throw this lady under the bus. So the issues were found, the latest issues, by the way. We're not talking about the obvious plagiarism that she was already busted for and that she seemed to have survived. No. These are new issues found in her 1997 doctoral dissertation, which you can imagine, right? Can you imagine reading Claudine Gay's doctoral dissertation? It was just senseless blather on meaningless racial sociology theory, and she couldn't come up with enough blather. She had to steal some from some other leftist moron. And they say that what they found were examples of duplicative language without appropriate attribution. Which, there's just too many words that, right? It's called plagiarism, that's all. It's called plagiarism. Anyway, the reporters, no, who is this? We have a quote from Charles, a professor at Harvard. He says, this is an extreme right-wing attack on elite institutions. Notice how he calls his own institution elite. You know what that means? He thinks he's elite, and he thinks Claudine Gay is elite. He says, the right is just trying to make it look as if there's a woke double standard. Those rotten, dirty, meow. Yeah, there's a woke double standard for, you know, like relatively dumb black women with extremely short haircuts. That's right, I'm Doug McBurney, and we're halfway home, and glad you're with us here in the Christmas season, and so I want to cover the obligatory Christmas miracle, the obligatory Christmas miracle story. First, I want to say that I am extremely happy that Hans Schmidt, the evangelist who was shot in the head while street preaching, on the street in Glendale, Arizona. Last week, he was said to be improving. And this morning, Christmas Eve, there's a headline. He's out of the ICU. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. He is out of the ICU. It appears he is going to survive. That's right. Praise the Lord. Not the Bee, which is the Babylon Bee's real news site, reported with the headline, Christmas Miracle. Pastor shot in the head while preaching is out of the ICU. And so I just want to say to my brethren at the Babylon Bee, this is not a Christmas miracle, and you shouldn't present it as a Christmas miracle. And God and Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ and salvation isn't about getting a miracle during the Christmas season that you can post up on your website. It's frankly embarrassing. Hans Schmidt was released from the ICU. He still cannot communicate in any way, but he is alive. And when God performs a miracle, Hans would just throw off all of the electronics that are hooked up with him, hooked up to him to keep him alive. He'd just walk out of the ICU, and he'd start preaching the best sermon anyone ever heard right out there on the street. That would be a miracle. This is not a miracle. This is glory to God. This is the result of the resilience that God built into the human body, and the gift of intellect and technology that God has allowed mankind to achieve, and so that this man's life could be saved. And so glory to God. But a miracle, I mean, just don't make it so cheap and just, yuck, I don't know. All right. No, that's not the end of that page. Hold on, let me check that one off because there's more here. Okay, the Death by Democracy file, we have the, let's see, there was a vote this past week on allowing schools to serve whole milk, which anyone who's a reasonable free human being would stop and say, wait a minute, why is the government voting on milk for lunch? How is that? Oh, I forgot. I forgot that we had turned over school lunch to the federal government. Why? Oh, because we're not free people. We're a bunch of ignorant, stupid cowards who are afraid of where our next meal is going to come to the point that we would hand over that responsibility to the government. So that's why I say most people are morons. Because the majority of Americans have voted to allow that to happen. To make sure that the federal government has a say in their kids' lunch. It's despicable. It's deplorable. It's no wonder we're losing the country. People are so afraid about lunch, for crying out loud. Your kid's 25 pounds overweight. You're worried about his lunch. Okay, so the vote was about the National School Lunch Program, which right there, are we in the Soviet Union? Democrat chairwoman, Debbie Just Stab Me Now. I'm sorry, Debbie Stabenow refused to allow a vote on the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which was sponsored by Republicans who think they're doing the right thing in underwriting a better communist dictatorship than the... all right. They were trying to amend the Richard Russell National School Lunch Act, a federally subsidized lunch program. They wanted to offer, the Republicans want your kid to have whole milk. The Democrats want to force low-fat varieties down the kid's neck. So who really cares for your kids? Is it the ones who want the whole milk? Is it the ones who want the low-fat? Who cares more? Who loves your kids more?
Give the monster.
That's right.
Rockstar.
Yeah, rock star, monster. Come on. Who really loves your kid? I've got a quote here from a Republican senator who says access to healthy and nutritional whole milk should not be controversial. Access to milk? What is this, China 1955? Who doesn't have access to milk, for crying out loud? Do you think we need Republican senators to make sure our kids have access to any kind of milk? Anyway, the Republican goes on to say, we thought we had an opportunity to get a bipartisan win, said the Republican, to close out the, you're just craven, thieving, petty tyrants, holding milk over the heads of the children, and the parents are going to get votes. It's just disgusting. It's disgusting. We have another senator who says, quote, dairy is a very important part of a balanced meal. At which point you're like, are you a senator? What are you doing? I could have asked my mom about that. You're a senator. We're paying you $200,000 a year to tell us that dairy's an important part of a... I want to strangle someone. Let's see. More from the article in The Federalist here. Last year... The Food and Drug Administration, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which, that's a problem right there, that we have a Food and Drug Administration. We don't need anyone to administer food and drugs. We know how to eat food. We know how to take drugs. We got a department to tell us how. All right. Last year, the Food and Drug Administration proposed an update to the definition of health. Now you just want to pull your hair out. It's like we need someone to define health for us. Again, I could just ask my mom. Mom, tell me how to be healthy. Well, dairy's an important part. I don't have to set up a trillion-dollar bureaucracy for mom to let me know to drink my milk. Let's see. The Democrat senator, Debbie Just Stab Me Now, says the USDA, by the way, she's talking about the USDA, not to be confused with the FDA, who we were just talking about. No, the FDA is a trillion-dollar bureaucracy in and of itself. The USDA, that's a separate trillion-dollar bureaucracy. What are they? But why do we have both of them? Well, what do you think? You can count on your mom for stuff like this? For crying out loud. The USDA, according to Debbie Just Stab Me Now, she says they're in the process right now of updating school meal standards. School meal standards. Okay, I've beat that horse to death. It should be obvious by the end of the story that that bothers me, that we trust the government to set standards for lunch. One thing I would have thought in the land of the free and the home of the brave was that we could figure out lunch for ourselves. And if we were exceptionally brave, even for our kids. Maybe. Is that too much to hope for? Make America great again. Okay, now, from the World War III file, Breitbart reports that Generation Z members of the U.S. Army, these are young people in their early 20s, which is a lot of people in the Army, they are appearing on TikTok complaining about poor quality food, being pushed to stay in shape. They are complaining that their freedoms are being suppressed, and they're complaining about the pay. And they're complaining on TikTok in videos that they're not being allowed to get enough sleep. They're in the Army and they're on video complaining about all this stuff. Breitbart goes on to talk about a military influencer, which, how is that possible? How is that possible that someone wearing the military uniform is allowed to go on TikTok, period? How is that? Oh, I don't, forgive me. You know what? I was going to check out to find out if this is going on in the Marine Corps, and I decided you don't want to check, man. You don't want to know. That's all. You just don't. I mean, the Army, yeah, I can imagine, right? Someone joins the Army, they don't realize that they're going to lose freedom, that the pay is going to be bad, the food's not going to be so great, and you're not going to get enough sleep. That's the point of the Army. That's why the Army exists. Those are three or four of the pillars of why the Army exists. After that, it's to defend the country and destroy our enemies. But first, it's to make everyone in there extremely uncomfortable. That's, that goes without saying. It's called boot camp. But Generation Z doesn't understand it. And for some reason, they're allowed to go on TikTok and talk about it, which, okay. Now, so speaking of Generation Z, I asked the question as I was reading through the news articles this week. There were Palestinian demonstrations, pro-Hamas demonstrations almost every day. They're disrupting this, they're spray painting this, they're blocking and breaking down, closing down bridges here, demanding that Israel stop killing Hamas, which the problem there is, and maybe the kids don't understand this, if Israel stops killing Hamas, Hamas will keep killing Jews. And so you have to ask yourself, why do America's children want to kill Jews? And now you might think that that's hyperbole, but it's only hyperbole in theory, because when you watch and listen to what the kids say, they want to kill Jews. Why do America's children want to kill Jews? Why do so many of them? Not all of them. Most of them want to lay around, smoke pot, and play video games. That's the only reason that the Jews haven't been slaughtered. Fortunately, most of the young people who want to kill them are too fat and lazy. But why is it? What's happened to the mind of the American youth that they're anti Israel and anti-Semitic. Oh, did I say it? Why are America's children so anti-Semitic? Well, listen to the average coverage here in the news media. They, this is from my Yahoo feed. They talk about Palestinians trapped by fighting between Israel and Hamas. Oh, these poor Gazans are trapped by fighting between Israel and Hamas. And then the article goes on. Gaza's health ministry has reported more than 20,000 deaths in the fighting. And more than 53,000 wounded. And more than 500,000 people are starving. Starving, I said. Because of the war. Oh. And then they talk about a specific Gazan, Fadi Shachachach, and how his mother is on her sixth day, drinking only water from the sewer, with little or no food and rescue hopes waning. Fadi said his dad, Abdullah, was shot and wounded last month after a bombing. A bombing forced the family to flee the building where they had been sheltering, and his father died days later without treatment, he said. The article then goes on to describe how the U.S. helped arrange to bring out more than 1,000 Americans and others from Israel after the Hamas attacks. So this is the steady diet of every young moron. I mentioned most people are morons. It's even more so among the young. And they're basically told that there's fighting between Israel and Hamas, mentioning Israel first, by the way. And then that people are being injured and starving because of the war. Well, who's behind the war? Well, they mentioned Israel first, if fighting between Israel and like Hamas. And they talk about a bombing, and they give no attribution to the story about the drinking of the sewer water and the man who was shot because Abdullah said, and if Abdullah said, you know, let's report it in the New York Times because Abdullah said. And then at the end, down in the middle of the article, toward the end, there's after the Hamas attacks. Well, that's, well, what were the Hamas attacks? Were they related to the war? Were they because of the war? Was that part of, like, a bombing? What are the Hamas attacks? Oh, there it is. The Hamas attacks that started the war. That's way down there in the middle of... And so the false prophet speaking the words that his master puts in his mouth... is doing his job. He's doing what he was hired to do. The media are doing what they were hired to do to move forward the intentions and the efforts of the devil. And one of those is to take advantage of America's stupid, illiterate, lazy youth. Brain damaged by the government school system in which their hapless parents fed them to lead to eventually the destruction of Israel and on and yada, yada, yada. And then, of course, the end of the world. Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney, and we move on from the false prophet and the beast and the end of the world and all of that, and go to the Love and Marriage File. Love and Marriage File, a quarter of 40-year-olds in the United States have never been married. 25% of Americans over 40 have never been married. It's the most ever recorded since records began being kept at the beginning of the 20th century. just so you know where things have come from, in 1980, 6% of people over 40 had never been married. 6%. Now it's 25%. And I just throw that out there. It's just one more piece of data in a larger data set that we've been paying attention to for quite some time. It's from the Love and Marriage file. Now to the decline and fall file. Planned Parenthood, according to amgreatness.com, Planned Parenthood is increasingly providing more transgender services, which is, since they make most of their money killing babies, you'd think transgender, that doesn't really fit their business model, does? Because there's no babies involved with the trannies. Are there? Maybe? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think when a tranny wants a baby, they don't want to kill the baby, right? So why is the Planned Parenthood is getting into the transgender business? Oh, it turns out that it's a very lucrative business. In 2022, the estimated transgender market, whatever that means, was worth about $5 billion. $5 billion, the transgender treatment market. So that's services from medical type facilities that are purchased by transgender, by poor people who are deluded and been convinced to mutilate themselves. Anyway, so it's a $5 billion industry. I had no idea it could possibly be that big, but nothing shocks me anymore. The amount of transgender services provided by Planned Parenthood has increased about 125% just in the past 3 years, as transgenderism has increased about like 125%, oddly enough. 41 out of 49 branches offer some form of transgender treatment. They did about 40,000 visits related to transgender treatment in 2022. Related to transgender treatment? Wait a minute. This is Am Greatness. Why is the urinalist at Am Greatness calling it transgender treatment? Do you have to use the word treatment? You should never give the enemy... Never give the enemy their vernacular, for crying out loud. You've lost the war, you silly child. Somebody needs to slap this urinalist upside the head and let him know to call it something besides treatment, for crying out loud. So do I want to do any more? In particular, minors. Oh, listen to this. Here's a quote from Michael Artigues, the president of the American College of Pediatricians. He's the guy on our side, right? And he's the conservative. He wants to call attention to the fact that this transgender insanity is going on. And so he says you've got to question whether Planned Parenthood is actually discerning if, in particular, minors have a legitimate condition that requires gender-affirming therapies, as opposed to a social phenomena. And I wanted to say, excuse me, Mike, over there at the College of Pediatricians, you're supposed to be the conservative. You using the term gender-affirming therapies is a disturbing social phenomenon. You're participating in the disturbing social phenomenon by assuming that there could be a legitimate condition that requires gender-affirming anything. Finally, we have a quote from a detransitioned man, a guy named Scott who detransitioned. He says, here's what he says about the transgender drug industry. He says it doesn't matter if they decide to transition or stay trans or whatever, they're going to need those synthetic hormones for life. And that's a huge business model, says a detransitioned fella who knows. So I was not aware of that. Once you go through this mutilation and you take the drugs, now no matter what you do, you have to keep taking these drugs. I'm not sure why that is, but I don't even know that that is true, but that's certainly what Scott believes, and he's living it, which is just, it's a tragedy of epic proportion on so many levels that I should want to cry. I should want to cry over this, but it makes me angry. So I'll cry later. I'll cry later. I'll cry if I meet someone personally. I'd be happy to cry about it. But when I read things like this and I read the our side using their vernacular, it just infuriates me. It infuriates me to watch relatively stupid people dismantling the future of the country where my children and grandchildren are to be expected to live somehow. It infuriates me. And it makes me want to quote the Bible to them there. So how about that? So instead of just being angry, I will quote 2 Peter 2. This is for Scott, the detransition fella, and this is for Mike over at the American College of Pediatricians. This is for both of you, just so you know what side you're supposed to be on if you want to have any efficacy. 2 Peter 2 warns us that through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Uh-huh. Feigned words. Feigned words like transgender treatment or legitimate conditions requiring gender-affirming blah, blah, blah. That's what that is. Those are feigned words from the covetousness of the beast by which he will make merchandise of you. And that's you on the side that wants the transitioning, and that's you on the side who wants to talk about it as if it's somehow legitimate. Revelation 18 speaks of the end of making merchandise of the bodies and souls of men. That's right. At the end of the Bible, God says he is going to put a stop to the making of merchandise of the bodies and souls of men. And we don't need to wait to Revelation for that to stop in this case. We don't have to wait. That's why God wrote Revelation, so we would know how to act now and what to do and who to follow, right? That's why it's all in there. All right, so from there, oh, by the way, what else is in there? So many of, I'll probably close on this because I can't take it anymore with the news. I just can't take it. I don't want to be infuriated. I want to be beneficial. And so you know what's in the Bible is almost every colloquialism you've ever heard comes from the Bible. Almost all of them. So I was reading through the Bible. I happened to be in the book of Job, and I came across the skin of my teeth. Have you ever heard that one? He barely made it by the skin of his teeth, right? You've heard that. Did you know that was from the Bible? That's right. So I started to research it a little bit because I wanted to see what does the secular world say about it. So, of course, I go to Wikipedia where they dutifully report the actual Hebrew word and they say the source is the Bible. The source is Job 19:20. My bone cleaveth to my skin and my flesh and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. They actually report it right there from Job. I'm like, praise the Lord, Wikipedia being forced to read Job. The editors at Wikipedia can't help but attribute the skin of my teeth to the book of Job. So that made me feel pretty good. And then I kept reading the article at Wikipedia, and they go on to say the verse from Job 19:20 can be resolved as follows. And so I thought to myself, why does it need to be resolved? Is there a problem? Is there a problem with Job 19:20? And the folks at Wikipedia assume that there is. Why? Because they don't understand it. They read Job 19:20 and they're confused because the Bible is gobbledygook to the heathen. People read the Bible, they don't know what's going on. So they assume it has to be resolved. And they say it can be resolved as followed. In the first clause, the author uses the Hebrew in its usual sense of skin, associating it with the flesh and the bones. Now, in the second clause, which didn't make any sense to us because it says skin again, but there's no skin on your teeth. What is the Bible? What's wrong here? Anyway, they say in the second clause, The author uses the Hebrew or as derived from the Arabic, gahar, the bones in which the teeth are set. Therefore, says the editors at Wikipedia, the correct reading is, I am left with only my gums. That would be the correct reading if you were at Wikipedia and you were writing the Bible. So instead of just attributing good writing and the coining of a fabulous colloquialism that all of us have used and we understand immediately what it means, instead of just saying that was really awesome, they have to, because it's impossible for them to attribute good writing to the Bible or a sophisticated translation to the King James translators. Oh, no, no. No, no, no. The illiterate basement dwellers at Wikipedia, they presume to correct it because they're too dumb to understand it. And they'll never admit that they're just too dumb to understand it. No, they can't do that. But that's the first step. The first step in the editors at Wikipedia coming out of their destination for hell and suffering and damnation for all of eternity is to admit that they just don't get it. That's the first step, and we want to encourage them. Here at the Weekly Worldview, should the Lord tarry, will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.